This is our last message on what does the Bible say about that? And so I want you to turn to your Bible this morning. We're going to start out in the book of Genesis. Then we're going to go to the Old Testament, New Testament, the book of Ephesians, and then 2 Thessalonians. I realize I didn't put that on the slide this morning, but it is 2 Thessalonians. So the message this morning is entitled, what does the Bible say about work, our laboring? What should that look like in our lives? What does God expect from us, and what does the Bible teach us about that topic in life? And so we're going to dig into that this morning. And so if you'd follow along with me as we read from the book, the Bible, Genesis 2, verse 15. Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care of it. And so I just want to just pause there just for a moment. This is a command given by God that God will have the man work. And so this is where it is ordained that we shall work. It's before the fall. And so God had every intention for humankind to work. And so we'll figure out what that work looks like and what we do with that here in a little bit. All right, turn with me now to the book of Ephesians. About page 1819. Ephesians chapter 4, just one verse there, verse 28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. All right? And then go to me with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is a little bit of a longer read, and this is where our focus is going to be in this set of verses here this morning. Chapter 3, verse 6 through 13, and one key verse especially, I will stop and point that out to you when I get there. And it says, warning against idleness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when you were when we were with you, we gave you this rule. And here's the commandment that it gives us. And this is the key verse I want you to think about this morning. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. All right? That's a pretty direct verse right there. And then it goes on to say, we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tiring of doing what is good. Reading of the Word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we hear from your Word this morning, may you bring that Word to life. Lord, I pray too for those that have gathered here in your church and those that are online here this morning watching us, that you bless them with the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord. May you fill their lives so that you bring understanding to this message today. Open their hearts and minds and souls to receive your teaching. Lord, I pray to you, fill me with that same Spirit, and that these words are your words and never mine. And Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. How many of you ever heard the saying, I owe, off to work I go? Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah, some of you? Yeah, some of you have heard that before. You maybe have said that before. I hope that is not the best reason that you go to work on Tuesday morning. I hope there are different reasons that you enjoy what you do for a living and the things that God calls you to in your life. Now, let me ask you another question. Have you ever had a day when you wished that you didn't have to go to work? All right? Anybody been there? Yeah, I've been there. We're like, oh, it'd be easier to stay home today, especially on a Monday morning, right, when you're in bed and maybe it's a little dark out yet and the alarm clock goes off and you're just like, oh, just want to stay there for a little longer. But yet God calls us to work. And we have only in America do we have an entire holiday dedicated to work. Labor Day. And we celebrate that this weekend. And so I wanted to share with you this morning what God intends for you and I when it comes to work and what that should look like and what that means in our lives biblically. And there's a wide range of things that we're going to dig into and we're going to look at this morning. And so I want to share them with you today. And so we know that since the fall of man and sin entered the world at that point, that we are to toil and labor for our work. Genesis 3, we get that. And so we understand that. But I also want to ask you this morning, as you think about this topic, is work a curse or is it something that we are designed to do? Because how many times do you have it as you go through life where you feel like work is a curse, right? You have to toil and you have to work hard to provide for yourself and your family and whatever it might be. But yet, God designed it. And so in this broken world this morning, I want to give you some encouragement of what work should look like and be about in our lives. And so the first thing I want to share with you this morning, and it might not seem like this, but work is a gift from God. It's a gift. Genesis 2 verse 15, I just read that to you. That's when he kind of placed man in the garden and said, you take care of this now. It's yours. You'll eat from it, you'll toil, you'll work, and not always easy. But since the beginning, work has been part of God's plan for humanity. He created you and I to work. Now, that means that you can also view the act of working as a gift. Even if you don't love your job, God has provided for you and I. God has given you a talent, a gift that he wants you to use throughout your daily lives, wherever that might be where he's placed you today. And just think about how God has shaped you and he's used you. Some of you have been in the workforce a lot longer than others. You've changed. You've done different things. You've acquired different talents and gifts. You've learned many things as you've gone through your life. A significant and often overlooked way that we serve God is in our everyday tasks. You ever think about that for a moment? Just stop. Think about your life. What's that look like? What does your routine involve from week to week, from day to day? God is worshiped through our daily tasks as well. Have you ever heard of the word worship while you work, that phrase? Right? The things that you do on a daily basis are a form of worship to God. And so remember that if we understand that at some type of a deeper level in your life, I think that you'll find that your work will be more enjoyable. And I hope it is enjoyable for you. You know, I've heard people talk about when you find the right calling in your life, when you know you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be, it really isn't work. Some of you might have found that. Some of you are thinking, boy, Rob, what are you talking about? But when you find something that brings you joy in life and you love doing it and it's where God wants you to be and you're using your gifts and your talents, it no longer becomes work, especially when you get to worship God through it. And so work is a gift from God. And then we learn that the Bible says that those who are able to work should work. Right? We get this command, both the Old Testament and the New Testament speak highly of work, and I could have brought you several different verses about work and what the Bible says about that. I just gave you a few this morning. But in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he actually scolds some of them who refuse to work. He said, if you don't want to work, that's fine, but then don't expect to eat. Now, let me clarify some things here this morning. We have people in our congregation, and there's people maybe listening online, and maybe will hear this message. Not all of us are able to work, right? Physically, we might be unable to work because of a medical condition, or maybe there's some kind of an illness that you have that you're not able to work. Maybe you're getting older, and your body can't handle the type of work that you used to do anymore, and maybe you're in retirement, and we're going to talk about that as well this morning. What does God expect from me from retirement? But just know that when there are people in our world that are unable to work, who can't. But who Paul's addressing here as those that are able to work. Two strong hands and a strong mind and body that are able to work. Paul says, you need to work. That's God's command to us. Be active. Earn your living. So I just think about that. You think about how many of you were out early this morning. Did you hear any birds singing this morning? Anybody up early? Yeah, there's a couple of them there that are up early this morning. But here's the thing. God says in the Bible that he'll take care of the sparrow, doesn't he? But it does not say that he's going to put the food right in their nest. Does it? The sparrow has to leave the nest, has to go hunt and find its food so it can survive. You and I are designed to work. We must work. We must worship the Lord through our work. But we're designed to earn or make a living to provide for our needs. And we do that through many different ways. I mean, you might be a stay-at-home mom. You might be someone who scrubs toilets. Or you might be someone who is an attorney or a lawyer. It doesn't matter. The thing is, you're doing everything for the Lord in your life. God cares for you and I, but you and I still have to work for our provisions, for the needs that we have in our lives from day to day. That's the way God designed it. That's the way that he orchestrated it. Now, here's something that I found to be unique. If we work like God is our boss, you will find great joy in what you do. How many of you ever had a terrible boss, right? Somebody who's just a not easy to get along with, or maybe a supervisor that's difficult to be and stuff like that. You know, I want you to think about this. You don't so much work for your boss or a superintendent. Now, they're over you, and they give you commands, and you have stuff to do. But what if you were to get up on Tuesday morning, and you decided to yourself, and maybe you do this already, and I'm hoping that you do, but today I'm getting up, I'm going to work for Jesus Christ, no matter what you're called to do. What if you were to start looking at it that way in life, that what you do matters to the world that God has placed you in and the things that he has you doing in your life? I think Tuesday morning would be different for you when you hit the alarm clock and you realize that I'm getting up today to serve Jesus Christ in all that I do and whatever that is. And Paul wrote that as well in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. He said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God in your life. Now remember all those jobs I just talked to you about. In God's eyes, they're all the same. You might see different pay levels here in the world that you and I live in. And some are rewarded more for the work that they do in the world that you and I live in. But yet God sees them as very important to you and I. He sees it important to the world that you and I live in. He sees that it's important to the family of believers and those that need the level of care and whatever has to go on in your life or in your family or in your household. Now let me talk to you about another issue that might be a problem for us when it comes to work. For some of us, we take the commandment to work way too far the other way. And we call those types of people workaholics. Anybody know a workaholic, right? They work day and night, don't ever take a break, those types of things, correct? Let me talk to you about this just a little bit. Now, don't let me hear, you know, I realize that we're in a farming community and we're seasonal. It's busy in the spring, it can be busy in the fall, those types of things go on. But I'm talking about something that's consistently out of balance in what they do for a living. Their work becomes their idol. It's the center of their life. And so I want to throw a word of caution out here to you this morning that you don't get out of balance in your life, because God intends a balance of work and rest and even recreation, whatever that is for you and I, things you enjoy doing. God says that you look at the fourth commandment, you know, the Sabbath is a holy day unto the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, and da-da-da-da, your neighbor and your friends and all that. It's a day of rest, is what he says to you and I. And today we stop, don't we? It's the seventh day, and we stop, and we break from our traditions of working. The other 5 days that we come to worship our God, we rest. But I want you to think about your week and what that looks like. Is your balance in life, is it where it needs to be? When it comes to work, when it comes to rest, when it comes to recreation. Think about your family. Where are you spending time? You know, I brought this up. By the way, I was out this morning to the rodeo and preached there already today. And I brought this up to them. I bring it up to you. I've got the privilege to bury quite a few people the past several years being a pastor. And I've got to speak with people right on their deathbed as they're getting ready to meet Jesus Christ. You know, I've never, ever heard anybody say this to me: I wish I would have worked more. Never. So think about that balance in your life. Where's it at? God calls us to work, but he doesn't call us to be workaholics as well. I got a couple quotes I want to share with you this morning. How many of you remember Billy Graham? Right? Great preacher. One story that I want to share with you here this morning. And it has to deal with people being workaholics. I'm going to put it on the screen, in fact, for you this morning so you can read it. I'll read it to you. Follow along with me. Our work was never meant to become the center of our lives. That place belongs only to God. Isn't that so real? So true, isn't it? Someone who brags about working 70 or 80 hours or more a week probably thinks he or she is the master of their job. But in reality, he or she has become its slave. Right? Out of balance. Out of balance. Be careful that you don't find yourself in that situation. Now, here's another question I got for you this morning. How many of you are looking forward to retirement? Maybe you're already there. How many, look at the question on top of the screen here this morning. Is the American dream of retirement a biblical idea? What do you ever process that? What does that mean to you and I? Because let me ask that question to you again. How many of you are looking forward to retirement? Anybody out there? Some of you, I am. I want to travel. I want to do things. I want to see God's beauty in his creation. I want to see things I've never seen before. I want to go be a part of what's going on in the world. Your work might look different when you retire, but here's what I want to tell you. When you retire and you put God in the center of your retirement, whatever that looks like, I believe that you're following a biblical mandate. How many of you, when you retire, you're looking forward to sitting in your rocking chair and watching episodes of MASH all day? Right? I don't think anybody's looking forward to that. You see, so God put in you and I to work. Even though you might retire, your work's going to look totally different than maybe what you do today, because you're part of the workforce, and that's totally fine. But what I want to try to teach you is this morning, when you look forward to retirement, put God in the center of that. Go do things that he calls you to do. Go serve others who are in need. Be part of your communities. Be active. Do things. That's what I think God intended us to do. That whole American dream thing, that just kind of goes up in smoke when you think about it biblically. That's what I think. But if you put God in the center of it, I think it can be a great blessing. How many of you have volunteered for something in your life? And you worked for no pay? Anybody ever done that? Right? A lot of us have done that. When you get out there and you do stuff and you don't get paid for it, but yet you know that it's filling a need and it's helping others, how do you feel about that type of work in your life? It's a blessing, isn't it? It's the best pay that you'll ever receive. I felt that in my life. I'm sure you felt that in your life. When you can get involved and you can do things that you're not always getting paid for, the reward is greater than what you're doing today for a paycheck. That's the goodness of God. That's also the type of work that we can bring to this world when we retire. the goodness of God. We can share the love of Jesus Christ with those around us in so many different ways. And by the way, if you like MASH, please don't be offended. So the young generation is thinking, what is MASH? Right? Yes. I have another quote from Billy Graham here this morning. This one's not on the screen, but it has to do with retirement. So I want you to think about that. For most of us, we're not there yet. For some of you, you're there already, but it might be a good refresher for you to hear this about what this might look like. And so he was at somewhere he was preaching, and there's this 50-year-old man that was there, and he heard him speak, you know. His goal was, and he probably wasn't even 50 yet, because this is what he said: my goal is to fully retire when I'm 50 years old. That's what I want to do. I want to be fully retired when I'm 50 years old. I want to be done working. And Billy heard this, and he responded to this guy who said that. And he didn't condemn him at all, but he said this to him: your goal suggests that you're only concerned about yourself. What will you do with the remaining years of your life once you retire? Will you pursue a life of self-centered indulgence? Quotes MASH, right? Living only for yourself. If so, I think this is so good, because so many people, and as my parents have gone into this, and many others that I've talked to that have retired, that have been in ministry, it's like you got to recreate yourself and figure out who you are and find that new identity. And sometimes people get lost in that process. And I think what Billy was saying here, and it made it so good, he said this: if you're just going to sit in the chair and you think you're going to do nothing but take care of yourself and indulge yourself in many ways, you're going to be restless, you're going to be bored, and you're going to be empty. You're not going to have any joy in this life if that's what you think retirement looks like. But if you put God in the center of it, and you're active, and you do the things that He calls you to, I think you'll find great joy in those years. Now, I'm not there yet, so I can't say for sure. But I do know that a lot of you that have reached retirement, a lot of you are still active, and you're doing things in our community. Because you can. And what a blessing that is, that you're still able to do that yet. And whatever that you're doing, and whatever God calls you to in your life. And so let me just finish up with these few words this morning. Who you work for matters. I want you to think about that as you go home today, and as you go to work this week, the things that you do. Who you work for matters. When you decide to retire, what you do and who you do it for matters. It matters to God. And so this may be our encouragement today. When you got to go to work Tuesday morning, maybe always labor in the Lord. Always. And I think that'll give you a fresh perspective about what you do for a living. Because you do it unto God. And all His people said.